Joy.
I'm an addict and my name is Joy.
Hey, Joy.
And I want to thank the God of my understanding for another day clean. And for that, I am truly, truly grateful. You know, first let me, because I do have manners, I was raised in Narcotics Anonymous, right? I want to thank the convention committee for their hard work and dedication to carrying the message of Narcotics Anonymous. I want to thank the program committee for asking me to come out and participate in my own recovery. You can't hear me. It must be the mic then, because really I don't need that joint, and you can probably find out in a few minutes. So the topic is inner peace, and when I first got here, I was told to. And, you know, this is making me a little uncomfortable. This, you know, stirring up some emotions. This mic keeps sliding closer and closer to my mouth, you know. I was told to get a dictionary. And any word that I didn't know or thought I knew, to look it up. And I still do that today. My clean date is January the 9th, 1989. You know, I came here by way of a thorough and complete ass whooping. That's it in a nutshell. I've stayed here because I remember that complete and thorough ass whooping. And I have no intention, no desire to ever receive another one. So my clean date is written in pen. So inner peace. So I looked up the definition of inner peace, and it says a state of tranquility, acceptance, and contentment. Something I had never been. Tranquil, acceptance, and I sure wasn't content with anything. So in the reading of my literature, I came across another word. It's called equanimity. And that is mental calmness, composure, and evenness of temper, especially in a difficult situation. So you know me, I'm a pros versus con type per person, so I wanted to know what was the difference between equanimity and inner peace. I can only achieve inner peace once I have reached the level of equanimity. Equanimity specifically describes the ability to maintain composure and balance, particularly in the face of a challenging situation, whereas inner peace is a broader concept encompassing a sense of tranquility and well-being, often regardless of external circumstances. So for me, I only began to achieve inner peace by the application of the 12 steps in my life. See, when I got here, everything caused me discomfort. If it rained, I was upset. If it was too hot, I was upset. I was upset with everything. And what I realized after coming in here and staying here for a while and beginning to do some work was that I was upset with Joy. That the problem has been and always will be Joy. How I react to things that happen in life is my problem. Nothing on the outside can change how I feel on the inside. But see, it was my inside that I ran from all my life. Yeah, I would like to say that, You know, I got high because I was abandoned as a baby by my mother, and like the young lady shared in the breakfast meeting, I was raised by my grandparents and my father was a drop-in dad. I could say that's why I got high, right? But the reality is there was something missing in my life from the beginning. And I didn't have the tools to identify the missing part. You know, we all always wanted to belong and we all always wanted to be here. I never did. I was content with being by myself, or so I thought. I didn't realize until I came here that isolation is what fostered my separation from people. Because, see, if I kept you at a distance, you couldn't get close enough to hurt me and upset what I thought was my inner peace. But the reality is I had none to begin with. You know, so I, you know, got high and I did all the things that we do when trying to get one more. And I might, there may be a few that I did that you guys didn't do, and there's a few that y'all did that I didn't do, and I'm okay with that, you know. But when I got here, my spirit had been destroyed, right? I was just a hollow shell of a human being walking. I had no compassion, no empathy, no tolerance, no patience. All the spiritual principles that our program talk about, I had none. Because, see, the world that I came from, I couldn't have any of those things. And I brought them with me when I first came in here. Because, see, excuse me, I still had not learned how to be okay with joy. I always had an angle, so therefore I thought y'all had an angle. That this living clean and not getting high and being happy, joyous, and free, that was bullshit. It wasn't until I stayed here that I realized that it's possible. So inner peace. So I got clean, got a sponsor, started doing things, started doing step work, and I'm sponsoring people, and I'm doing everything that you guys are saying to do. And 20 years clean, I hit the wall. Because prior to that, I did what y'all guys said don't do too. I got in a relationship and I got married and we was living, we were living at like Leave It to Beaver and them, because back then, we was living like the Huxtables.
Yeah.
We was living like the Huxtables, you know, two parent household, everybody working and the bottom fell out of the marriage. Mm-hmm. And messing with a woman in the fellowship. And I took that as a personal attack from Narcotics Anonymous. And I walked away. I was like, I'm not dealing with them people no more. All of that is crap. And I stopped going to meetings. And I called the women that I sponsored. Like, hey, you know, y'all need to get another sponsor because I'm not in a position. And I threw myself into life. Went back to school, got a master's degree. My kid graduated. And at 20 years clean, I'm sitting on the side of my bed debating if I'm going to eat a bullet out this gun. And the thought came, how is this going to look when your son comes in from school? And what I realized that hurt people, even clean. So I picked up the phone and I called a woman who sponsors me today. And I said, I need help. And I remember her asking me, what did I want to do? And what was wrong? And what I realized is that my spirit had once again become damaged. Because what I equate my inner peace to, my inner peace is directly related to my spiritual condition. When I am connected to God as I understand Him, nothing happens in my life that I'm not emotionally and mentally prepared for. And even if I'm not prepared for it, when it starts, by the time it's over, I'm good. But it's my spiritual condition, right? Because life is going to happen. It tells us in our literature, this is about living life on life's terms. Life ain't good, life ain't bad, life is. And everybody get a turn. So I began to do the basics over. 20 years clean, back on step one. And in that time, they came out with the flat book. I opened that joint and saw them 4,087 questions. And like the lost my mind. Because see, when I got clean, we did step out of the basic text, right? And the fourth step guy was a cockeyed zero. No, the one you crank that they used to crank in school. It was half cut off, and you couldn't read it, and you had to call somebody. What does the fourth line in the third paragraph say? Because it's cut off. Addicts today are more fortunate. You got a whole book with margins and all that stuff. So I began to do the work over. I began to reignite and recommit to having a conscious contact with God as I understand Him. And that's what was missing all the time. You know, I'm one of those people that I was raised in church. You know, my entire family is ministers and we have a family church. And yeah. And that God, I believe, was a punishing God. Because by the time I had got clean, I think I had knocked off about 8 of the 10 commandments. You know, only thing I think I know what, I haven't killed anybody. So that one was pretty good. But the other 9 is, 8 of them I know I did. That 9th one, you know, subject to interpretation. So, I remember when I reached the third step, I struggled. Because I felt if I found a God of my own understanding and came to an understanding of God on my own, I was saying that the God that I was raised with by my grandmother was wrong. And I love my grandmother. I loved her. I love her even if she isn't here. I still love her. And my sponsor said, no, you are entitled to a concept of God of your own. And that doesn't make hers wrong. And once I reached that level, I began to actively participate in a relationship with my higher power. Because I don't know about y'all, you know, when I was using, it really wasn't the, I ain't gonna say it really wasn't, it wasn't what the drugs had done, it was how I felt. It's like, you know how they do that time elapsed and you watch the orange shrivel? That's what I felt my spirit doing during active addiction. The shriveling until it was rotten. And I remember feeling the same way at 20 years clean. And what I told myself after that, I damn sure won't feel that at 30 years clean. But the only way to not do that is to achieve the inner peace, right? So, you know, equanimity talks about evenness of temper. I was born a hothead. I think when the doctor slapped me, I slapped him back at like 2 minutes old. You know, I just wasn't no, yeah, I wasn't doing all that crying. Like, what? You just hit me? You know, and explosiveness of temper. And it took me time and work in this program. Because, see, it's always been very easy for me to tell you I am angry. But it's a humbling thing when I tell you, no, really, I am scared to death. So anger had become my shield, you know. And it had taken me time to be able to put the anger aside. So now I can tell you, look, about 10 minutes ago, I was over there like trembling in my Jordans. Like, scared, but it's okay to feel scared doing this because I don't never want to be like, I got this. I never, no. Never. I always want to be in a position of humility when it comes to carrying the message of Narcotics Anonymous. That doesn't mean that I don't know what I know, because I got some experience. But I'm more happy to share the hoop, you know. And some days my inner still ain't, some days they ain't, it ain't peaceful. But what I do not do, regardless of what I feel, is use. I have learned from the group experience that using don't solve nothing. I have never known getting high to fix anything. But for a short minute. Because then I'm stuck with a couple problems. Because, you know, the initial one, you're like, ooh, wee. And then when it's over, you're like, oh, man. So I work continuously at this. Because recovery is a process. It's not a project. You know, processes never end. Projects have to have a start date and an end date. You know, my process won't end until I take my last breath. My ultimate goal is to receive an infinity coin. You know, no time soon. You know, you're kidding me. But I am grateful for all that I have been through. You know, as I have traveled down on this journey, I have received a lot of blessings. You know, our literature talks about lost dreams awaken, new possibilities arise, you know. I don't know about you, but it's so good to be able to look at myself in the mirror and smile. Many years, many days, it was just like sick of yourself. It wasn't that other people were sick of me. I was sick of me. But for, you know, but for the grace of God as I understand Him and the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous and our program, I stand here today living the best life I've ever lived. And I ain't got a lot. I'm still seeking the right Powerball numbers and the Mega Million numbers. You know, because I don't want to work no more. You know. But it is a joy to be clean. It is a joy to feel real joy. See, it's not about being happy for me anymore, because happiness depends on something happening. Real joy is what I find on the inside. So I'm an addict, and my name is Joy. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Joy. I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Andy.
Hey, Andy. Hey, Andy.
My name's Andy, I'm an addict.
Hey, Andy.
Joy, you outkicked your coverage there. That was a beautiful message. Seriously. when it's relatable for me, I'm reminded, like, it's just, I'm a member of the program that you talked about, right? That's what I love. Like, I drove down from the Harrisburg area this morning, and the sun was in my eyes. I left my sunglasses at home. Starting to get a headache. And I start getting, my inner peace was gone. Here, and then I realized I was going to have to share. And then it just became a whole thing for me until I sat down in a first meeting this morning and got in and felt the vibe. I felt the we, right? I tapped into the we. And I got reminded that the we's saved my life and continue to save my life, right? And I got settled in. And I'm glad that I came. And I really did enjoy your message. So, Ed, wherever you are, thanks for asking me and having heard something in my message. And thanks for the committee for asking me to speak. It's an honor. And, it really is part of the unrepayable debt that we get here at Narcotics Anonymous, right? Like, we pass this line somewhere, right? For me, where I was given more than I've ever thought I deserved in Narcotics Anonymous. And I can't pay that back anymore to the fellowship because the debt is too huge with these lives that we get here, right? We just, it becomes filled with people that we love and care about dearly. And things, which maybe matter a little, but it's just really the relationships and the love and the service that we're able to give to other people. And it's just such a beautiful way of life. And you said it, Joy, right? Like, lost spirits, lost dreams awaken, the possibilities arise. And that's why I come to Narcotics Anonymous still, right? Because there's more for me here, right? So we started at the beginning. My clean date's February 12th, 1989. Celebrated last week.
All right, let's go.
Thank you. Thank you. And really, it's about you guys, right? That anniversary is evidence that I belong to a program that helps people get and stay here. That's really the evidence piece, right? And today is my 61st birthday. And I'm aware that I don't look a day over 59, right? I've been clean over half my life. Got clean when I was 25. And NA works, right? And so now on to the topic, right? So, blessed with the gift of utter desperation, right? Just, I live with this disease that I never won't live with, right? And, when I showed up, I thought the answer was sitting in the chair, drinking coffee and fighting off my anger, right? I thought it was just sitting in a lot of meetings, drinking a lot of coffee and holding my fists tight, right? And, because when I was new, no one said it's a spiritual solution to the disease. Like, when they did, I didn't hear it. Like, I couldn't hear that message that the answer to the disease that you live with every day on a daily basis, Andy, no matter how long you hear, is spiritual living. And we learn that through sponsorship and step work. That's my experience, right? And it's certainly an inside job. Like, there's no question about that. And when I got here, I thought I had to make up for lost time. I thought that if I got here and fixed everything on the outside, that I'd have that peace that we're talking about, right? There'd be some inner peace, serenity, some freedom, all the spiritual principles that we learn in the steps, that I would achieve those through opening the drawer of my socks, right, and dumping them on my bed, and sorting them all into pairs and throwing out all the ones that didn't match, right? And cleaning the toilet that hadn't been cleaned in a year, right? And
I had a broken fishing rod in the basement that had broken for 7 years, and I was convinced that if I got that fishing rod back to the manufacturer and got it repaired and got it back in one piece, that's it. I'm on my way, right? And I ran around my first 3 or 4 months here in Narcotics Anonymous, sitting angry, drinking coffee, calling my sponsor every day with the, I call it the unconnected sponsor check, and I'm fine, I went to a meeting, I'll talk to you tomorrow, right? But I wasn't fine. A lot of anger, couldn't, you know, we say, I'm trying to get in touch with my feelings. I heard a guy recently, don't worry, they'll get in touch with you.
Yes.
Like, you just don't use and hang around and they'll show up. Trust. That's been my experience at every stage of my recovery, right? And it got worse and I got crazier and I got painful, clean, right? And all that shit I drug into recovery didn't go away. You know, it's like that damn booger on your finger that you just can't get rid of. Just keep trying to wipe it off under the seat and it won't go away. You know? And I went to work one day and I shared a desk, like off shift. We'd worked this desk when I was there, and then somebody else used it when I wasn't there. And they moved my stapler from the left side of my desk to the right side. I started to cry. And I told my boss, I got to go home. You know? And I left for the day because I couldn't. It was literally, that was the point, right? Where all the, if I don't burn my mouth on the hot soup, I'm fine. Like, I just got to that point. And I called my sponsor, right? And you don't know how you have it today, right? Because it was a message on the answering machine. You had to wait for the return phone call, you know? And he says, go to a meeting. I'll come get you. And I rode to a meeting, and we talk, and he goes, are you ready? And I'm like, ready for what? He goes, you're ready to surrender. He says, just ready to be honest and surrender to what we actually do here. And I surrendered that day, right? It was about 90 days in. I moved all my chips into the middle. Became a member of Narcotics Anonymous, right? Eh, you remember when you say you are, but you're going to stay when you move into the middle, right? You're going to stay when you move your chips into the middle. And I started down a pathwork of prayer, surrender, and step work. And that's probably what I was talking about for the next whatever. That helped me achieve on and off, and more on than off, and bigger periods of on than off, inner peace, right? Because that's really what it is, right? It's that inside job. And it's that spiritual solution, right? It's loving the newcomer and realizing I need to be a service to them, right? Like, that's my main function here, is paying it back. And I started getting better, right? I started calling him and discussing my current weird of the week. And the guy loved me, kicked my ass with love and put me on the spot and help me work steps and become a different person. And and he taught me how to hug the cactus, right? Like, do the uncomfortable, like all the shit that I'm not doing. That he's like, yeah, you are. No, I'm not gonna do that. He's like, yeah, you are. You know, all this stuff he made me do that I didn't want to do, and it just made me better as a human, you know. So, and I'm going to move in. I'll talk a little bit more steps. I called my sponsor yesterday. I said, inner peace. He goes, 6 and 7. You're imperfect. Accept it. No, I mean, he's real quick. He goes, that's it. You don't have to be any more. 6 and 7, you're imperfect. When you accept that and you're okay with it. I'm like, wow, good phone call. But see, here's where I trick myself, right? I trick myself when I have internal turmoil, right? And maybe it's just me getting up minding my own business and something happens that I had nothing to do with, but it affects me. And my choice is denial, right? And I mask that as I'm fine. Okay? I got this. Not a problem. And so when I choose that avenue, right? When I choose that avenue of, I think I'm going to lose my job because I suck, but I'm going to hold it in, right? my character defects, like, they blow me up, right? And it's as simple as, because I'm not at peace, I'm in denial, and now I'm sitting on a couch itchy, right? And it's the whole container of ice cream, right? Or it's 24 more episodes of a show that I shouldn't be watching because I get up at 4:30 in the morning, right? Or it's other areas, right? Like, I don't gamble, but I see my propensity to do that. Like, that's not never been my thing, but I'm well aware it can be, right? Like, I don't discount any of that, right? You know? And I've been married for 29 years? Yeah, 29 years, come here. And I've never accidentally had sex with somebody other than my wife since I've been married.
Right? Right.
However, I know that those thoughts come out, right, when I'm sitting on stuff that I'm not dealing with. When my solution to having inner peace is, I got this. I'm fine. You know, and the situations never resolve themselves. And when I finally hulk up and invite my higher power into the process, and you guys who my higher power works through and work through that, it's never. I get angry because the pain I was feeling was not even close to how easy it was to walk through it, right, and get out the other side and feel that relief and growth and move on. So, but it is, it's about surrender and understanding that. Is an addict, right? Because that's our message, right? Any addict can stop using, lose the desire, and find a new way to live. And the new way to live is not drugs, right? Or other behaviors that I try to fill the void that's the disease that lives within me with, right? The solution is higher power into the process. Sponsor into the process. Sponsees into the process. Home group into the process. Morning routine, hands and knees, help me, right? I mean, I can't remember last time I prayed for something. Other than let me be a service, let me be part of the solution, right? And you guys, right? Because I have resentments against you. But that list is short right now. I'm not really praying for anybody that I have resentment against, right? Currently. And and mine has been too. And it's almost always been my fault, right? It's almost always been my fault. Because and somebody said it right today, maybe here or at the other meeting, because the problem's never with them. Mm-hmm. It always resides with me. My accountability and my responsibility to find a spiritual solution to move through that, right? You know? My wife is back. We were married clean, but she's back with three years. My wife's back with 3 years, but I lived that relapse. A lot of it hidden from me, not aware, checked out mentally a little bit. You know, and but she's back, right? And my middle daughter's, she celebrated 3.5. She made sure she says, I just have 3.5 years. And I'm like, there's no coin for that kid. Keep coming. You know, and I do think that cleaning house, right, 4 and 5, 8 and 9, setting my side of the street clean, allow me to be right. 4 and 5 get me right with me. 8 and 9 gets me right with you and the rest of society. And when I do that, I find a place where I'm supposed to be, which is one among many, right? Mm-hmm. Just a cat trying to get another day, not at the top, not at the bottom. You know, just humbly living a life that we enjoy here in Narcotics Anonymous. And when I am living that life in service to others, and I wreck my car. I'm okay, right? I'm angry for the minute, and I work through that, and I know that there's a solution. The truth is, I don't really have to be that involved in it because it's just calling all state and getting the fuck out of the way. Mm-hmm. And my wife told me, don't swear when you share. You use that F word all the time, so I'm gonna, hopefully I'll be the only one. She's right, because it is change, right? Because just I've been here a long time. Let's give me a license to F-bomb. I mean, I agree with that, right? I agree with that. Yeah, because the solution always resides with me and the steps and your help, higher power. No question about it. 6 and 7 tell me that I am imperfect, right? And that I have these defects. And my best hope is to ask my HP to arrest them for a period of time. You know, and it doesn't mean that they're not going to come back and I'm not going to act out. But, you know what? God, I remember 6 and 7 the first time with my first sponsor. He was like we had just finished five and his wife had died 2 months ago at 40. Sudden, like some weird heart arrhythmia, perfectly healthy heart arrhythmia, ambulance got lost, couldn't find the address to the house, died. Right? And we just finished five and he thanked me for helping him through that. Right? Whew. And we started talking about six and seven and he goes, don't overthink it, right? We want to really just, and it has been said we didn't have 400 questions that ask the same thing seven different ways. Right. Seven different ways. And when you share those questions and answers with your sponsor or your sponsee in a step working guide, we have to move that spiritual principle from our mind to our heart and how we live. And if we're not doing that, we have. So the cautionary piece is when you answer the question, you ain't working step. Okay, you're opening your mind to some possibilities to find a place to use that spiritual principle, right? But I'm not in that moment when I'm answering how am I powerless, and then I answer in which ways am I powerless, and then is my powerless? I'm for it because it's a great conversation area for people to help them look at it and see it. But I have to be able to move it from what I think to how I live, you know? It can't be a guy who recites the text and then just does what he wants when he leaves here. That's not, you know, that's the piece too, right? Because that's where I find the inner peace is when I live the spiritual principles to the best of my ability. And in spiritual living's the hard way. That's the hard road, is living spiritually, right? Living spiritually is the harder choice in many, many cases. It's not like, I was honest and it was easy. Not always easy, right? It's hard, right? So I learn about my defects in six and seven. I minimize them. I maximize my assets. And so I'm clear that only my higher power can remove those defects. Because I'm not an unintelligent guy. I've been clean a while. And I have a couple things. Mostly a beautiful family. And but I can't change by flipping a switch. I wish I could. I've tried, right? I thought that if I just wanted to lose some weight, I'd just eat sensibly 2-3 times a day, and that was it. I could do it because I'm smart. And that's never been my experience here in Narcotics Anonymous. I've always had to invite a higher power into the process. Always. You know? And, you know, through 8 and 9, clean up some of the wreckage and I mend those relationships, and you know. So when I mend a relationship, it's much like mending a net. When there's a broken net, and I mend the net, all it means is it don't look pretty, but it works, right? Like that mended net is not this pristine thing, right? In some cases, other times it is, right? But when I fix the net, it just means that now it'll work, and it may not look real pretty, and that's sometimes what amends are. But the amends are for me, right? The amends are for me to get back on spiritual footing, right? And allow me to no longer hold my head down when I'm around people, right? And they allow me to just be that productive member of society. And I don't have to duck and dodge, right? Not answer the phone, not go to family functions. They allow me to be me and live my best life, right? Continue to be the best version of me here in Narcotics Anonymous. And then mostly it's just about spiritual living and paying back the unrepayable debt. I mean, that's really where I head, right? It's just that conscious contact with a higher power. And I am very, very hip to the idea that my job with my higher power is not to ask for shit, but it's to align my will with his to the best of my ability and seek that will actively, because time here proves that my higher power has my best interests in mind. And that is one of the, for me, that's one of the biggest benefits of time. And time is not 36 years. Time is a couple years of work and steps. When I start to see that what happens when I'm trying to align my will with my higher power's will is the best for me, and that a lot of times more will be revealed, right? But I can live in peace knowing that the current circumstances are what's supposed to happen because I'm not all selfed up running in my own direction, right? And when I do that, I live rightly. And yeah, I get that peace, right? I get that, you know, I don't have to ask for stuff. And it, when I ask it for my higher power's will, it almost always brings me around to being in service to other people. It almost always pushes me in a direction that says, how am I helping you guys? You know, because this, I'm so damn self-centered living with this disease. And, I, you know, my favorite topic is Andy, right? Like, I love thinking about him and how's he doing and what's he going to get and what should he have and what does he need that he doesn't currently have and what does he order on Amazon that might arrive today that's going to, when he opens the box, it's going to be amazing. You know, because that's, I mean, I'm an addict, right? And I like that. And I can't order a small drink because it may not be enough. Right. And the disease lives inside me and everything that I do. And, you know, the inner peace is sometimes I just don't. Like, I went with my wife to see a magic show last night.
Ooh.
And, it was a dinner thing too, so I drank my soda and she said, do you want another one? And I was ready to say yeah, but I didn't want it, but I thought I needed it because I didn't have it. That's my disease.
Yes,
that's my disease, right? That's my disease. But I end up saying I don't want it because I just didn't need it, and that's a little growth for me, right? It's just a little bit of growth for me here. But, pain comes for all of us, right? My friend Mark in Philly says, the pain train comes for all of us. And that has no regard to your clean time or your integration into a sponsee family or your home group or your meeting attendance, your relationship with a higher power. It's to see you get a phone call and somebody that you love dearly just got killed in a car accident. It fucking hurts. Painful, right?
Yes.
And you were just minding your own business, right? And that's that stuff happens, right? I mean, just that's life. You know, but I run the checklist, right? Job one is not to use under any and all circumstances. And if I keep the main thing, I got a fighting chance, right? Because I've done dumb stuff here, but I haven't used, and it's always given me the ability to get back on that spiritual footing, right? And bring me back to an area of serenity and peace, even if it hurt a little, you know? But, I mean, come around here for a while, and you're sitting in a meeting. There's a newer person sitting next to you. Thank you. And, you see them next week, and then you don't see them the next week because they died. You were sitting right next to them. And then somebody that you really liked coming to NA was, you thought they were doing, you know, working a program, and then they died, and it hurts, right? And then someone doesn't have this disease dies, and it's painful. And, you know, we got to love each other, remind each other not to use, and we have to be there and show up in spots that people don't expect, because that's our job. And a lot of times our inner peace is in direct proportion to the help we give to others, right? I think is what I wanted to say through that, right? So that when I'm not happy with my boss at work, but I'm helping a new guy get his 30-day key tag, right? Like, it makes my boss irrelevant, right?
Yeah.
We change lives here. We do. We change lives here. We break the cycle for the families of this stupid, vicious disease that just sucks sometimes. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I'll just kind of wrap it up with this. Like, I wouldn't trade my my gift of utter desperation. I wouldn't trade any of that pain because I've come to terms with it. I've rectified all the scorched earth that I left behind getting here. I've rectified that all through step work, okay? And so I'm comfortable with the idea that the mess that I created getting here was the gateway to this beautiful life I have. I would go through that again if I knew this is what I got, but you don't know that when you're here, and that's maybe sometimes the problem for the new person is you don't see what we can get to, right, because of the dues that we paid, and you can, right? We changed lives. We found a beautiful way to live here that's filled with love and service, man, and that is just... It's heavy, right? So, yeah. Wife's back 3. Middle daughter 3.5. I told her I could never talk to her again until she got clean. Worked through that. And it's got real peaceful with the idea that she'd either get clean or go her own way. But I knew it was needed, right? The sponsor told me it was needed, right? Worked, right? Because Manhattan Narcotics Anonymous picked the kid up and loved her.
All right.
Oh, right?
Right,
Andy.
Right? And, yeah. It's just so beautiful, right? That's the, like I knew when she showed up in a meeting, she had a chance. Make sense?
Yeah.
Raised her hand, and, Harry R. said, "You're a mess, Claire. Come every day." That's a life-saving message that we hear here. And I knew it would work because I know what NA does. So I live a beautiful life, and I take no credit for it. I showed up and asked for help. That's it. Thanks.
So I would like to thank Joy and Andy for a great meeting, great share. Thank you. As a reminder.